donuts. Is there anything they can't do?
And I live in a van down by the river.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Party time, sweetheart.
It is that time once again. Get involved.
Larkin and Jay Hizzy.
I know you guys have been counting it down all week long and waiting until the Monday night episode. And it's finally here.
I think Milo himself said that, right?
I think he did.
I think we got a good show today. It's going to be a little bit basketball involved. But we're going to... Well, we've got a good show. We got a lot of content. We've got some neat stuff coming on from your very own Randy Sanders.
He's going to be in studio with us tonight.
There's nobody ever will be in studio with us. But we're going to talk about... A little bit about the football. Going to recap the game last week. Good win, Murray State. Opponent coming up, Appalachian State. But man, we've got some good stuff, and I'm looking forward to getting started. This is week number four. We've got a lot of. I feel good about the downloads we've been getting, Hizzy. Sounds like people are getting out there and listening to it. And
we have been getting some good calls. I'm a little bit disappointed on the we set up a voicemail for you guys to call in and leave your comments and feedback. And
we only got like 200 voicemails.
Yeah, let's just say you guys are not stepping up and doing your part on this. So shame on all of you.
Shame on all of you.
I mean, it's one phone call. It's local for those of you in Knoxville. And it can't be, you know, a 1 minute. Make some comments on something. Bash Fulmer.
That's right.
Praise Pearl. Do something.
Cell phone minutes are cell phone minutes. Call in, people.
We've got it set up. So... you know, give us a call. It's 865 area code 686-VOL-1 is the telephone number. You guys can call in, leave messages, and hopefully at some point we'll get those streaming live, have some on-air content for you.
Yeah. Well, as usual, you always start off the show with a little bit of the quick hit action. Quick hit. So I want to start off. You know, one thing I noticed at the basketball game, the students and I think the fans are kind of catching on the Bruce at the basketball home games.
Do that again?
Bruce.
I'm going to make a good sound mix out of that later, so.
Bruce. Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. You know, I think he's getting some run. I think the students have given him and his respect, and I like to see that.
Well, I heard that was one of Hamilton's criteria for his new hire. They had to have a long U sound in the name so the fans could do that.
Right. Okay. Next quick hit. Did you know that Tennessee is 203-84 in its 19th season in Thompson Bowling Arena? That's a lot of. I mean, that's a pretty good winning percentage, right?
Yeah, but what's that like in conference play? You know, I mean, I guarantee you that 120 of those wins are against the directional schools.
Good point. The Volunteers have also posted home winning records in 16 of their 18 previous seasons. Now, I went back and I looked, and that did not entail the Buzz Peterson era. So we're going to get on him a little
bit
today.
There's that word again.
We're going to get on him a little bit today, but certainly that wasn't on him.
It was on him.
Yes, okay.
The bad part.
What's the next quick hit there, Jay Hizzy?
Next quick hit is the Jameer Hendricks saga. Our buddy John Mark Hancock, Tri-City Sports, is once again writing some crazy, wild stuff, talking about Jameer Hendricks being reinstated, and my sources are telling me no.
Is he a self-titled doctor? What is he a doctor of?
I don't know. Doctor of BS?
Well, basically what Dr. Hancock is saying is that Jameer Hendricks will be reinstated by Bruce Pearl around the Christmas break.
I wonder if he'd like to come on the show.
Who, Pearl?
Hancock.
Ooh.
Or wait a minute. We could just pretend we're him and make stuff up and talk about it.
That's a good point. You know, I think what is interesting is that he went on a few weeks ago and did this article about predictions of all the coaching changes. Now, he was on, but, you know, it's not very hard to predict that David Cutcliffe was going to be back. So, you know, I'm not going to give him any credit for that.
Well, he also talked about T.D. Woods and Dale Jones, and we're still waiting to see those guys.
Right, and Trooper Taylor being gone as well. So, and then, but it wasn't too long after that where he wrote another article basically thumping his chest and saying how right he was,
right,
that he wasn't right on all of it, but he was right on a good part of it, and that he was the one that broke that story. And then he gets out here, and of course now Hissy's got some pretty good contacts down there at UT, and he's saying nay nay. He's saying nay nay.
Yeah, I'm not hearing the same things he's hearing. So he probably has better contacts than mine. You know.
You want the truth? You want the truth? You can handle the truth.
Little Homer Simpson there for
Beautiful.
You.
Beautiful. Gotta love it. But anyway, I don't think there's much to that. You know, nobody'd like to see that happen more than me.
Me too.
You know, we could use the depth, use the height. You know, it'd be a nice thing. But we were talking about that too. I don't think it could come back next year. I think he's out of year since he transferred, right? Because he had to sit out a year already.
It would have been a senior year.
Right. But I mean, if he doesn't have a year to sit out and still have a year of eligibility left.
No. So. No, he's done. And, you know, it'd be great to have him in. Of course, I remember the UAB football game. We went down there and watched the guys practice. And, of course, he's running around.
His drawers hanging off to his knees. He had his tighty-whitey showing.
And he was making a pretty big show of his butt hanging out of his shorts.
Yeah, he was dribbling with one hand and pulling up his pants with the other. So
it was quite comical.
But regardless, I'd like to have him back on the team. He's, you know, he's at least good for an entertaining fight once a season.
Sure. Now going back to, you know, like we said, this is going to be a basketball focused show.
Now football's over.
Yes.
We'll start bringing in some recruiting soon, but as for now,
we don't really have a whole lot to talk about. We do have a few things off the field, most certainly, but I thought that it would be neat to go and look at some of the rankings and the ratings for the Tennessee team. And, of course, a lot of you guys, if you get USA Today, Jeff Sagarin. Is it Sagarin? Sagarin? Sacharin? What is he? Artificial sweetener? Anyway.
I need a cricket chirp on that one.
You're going to get your own, big boy.
Boo.
All right. So what I wanted to see is where Tennessee ranked. Now, it is early in the season, so these are obviously skewed numbers, but we are 55th, you know, out of a lot of teams, basically. But one thing I did want to say is, Hizzy, it factors in strength of schedule. So what would you think that the strength of schedule for Tennessee would be? And here I'll give you out of total of 334 teams, where is Tennessee's strength of schedule?
I don't have the faintest earthly idea.
314.
That's brutal, and I don't know if we deserve to be quite that bad.
That's 18 spots from the bottom. That's not good.
That's not good. I don't know. You know, nobody's claiming to have played a bunch of world beaters to this point, but
I don't think we played that. I don't think we played teams that are that bad.
Well, we've played a tougher schedule than we usually play up to this point, so you know that's a little bit.
Well, we need to throw Alaska Anchorage in the mix and bump that up a little bit.
Well, it's also hard because it is early, and the same thing happens in football. You know, everybody's talking about how our football team would have been great, you know, with the teams that we played this year. If we would have beat them all, we would have been here or there. But it's hard to say because you have to add a loss to all those teams. So right now, when you're figuring RPIs for these teams that we've beat by 30, they're not looking too good, you know, 4 or 5 games into the season.
That is an excellent idea.
Absolutely. So, you know, if those teams beat us, our schedule would be way up there. But since we beat them by 30, then, you know.
Next hit. We have got to talk about this season because I think everybody's excited about where we've started off. We've beaten some, you know, mid-level decent teams. But what I wanted to do is kind of go through the schedule with you and figure out how many wins and losses are we going to have at the end of the season. You know, we can say that we'll go into the tournament game, but let's just focus on the regular season. Currently, we're at 4-0, and what I wanted to do is kind of quickly run down through the rest of the schedule. You got that up?
No, you're going to have to give me a little bit of warning.
All right. So, you know, we got
I'll gladly pull it up, though.
Yeah, East Tennessee State, Louisiana Lafayette, Eastern Kentucky, and Murray State. All right. Now, we've got Appalachian State coming up tomorrow.
Win.
Okay, that's a win. All right, so we're 5-0. All right, then we're at Texas.
Loss.
Okay, that's 5-1. All right, at Oklahoma State.
Loss. But okay.
So you
could
win,
but
I'm going
to put
that
in
loss.
I think you have to at this point.
Okay, we'll make that a swing game right now. So, all right, so we can be 5-1. We can be 6-1 or 5-2 at that point. That's fine, okay? Then we go Alabama A&M here.
Alabama A&M, Lipscomb, and South Alabama are all
you're basically going to have to put them as wins. So in the first 10 games, we're either 8-2 or 9-1.
We're 8-2.
Okay, so let's say we're 8-2.
Okay.
All right, at South Carolina, first SEC game, you're going to have to say a loss.
I would say loss.
On the road. I mean, you know, you're getting into a schedule where the teams are, not only are they bigger, they're better, they're mm-hmm. deeper. So at South Carolina, we're going to take that as a loss, all right? So we're looking at – let's just go ahead and say that we had the two losses before the SEC starts. So that's mm-hmm. 8-2.
8-3 now.
All right, so we're 8-3.
Georgia at home, win.
You got to say that's a win. They're
yeah,
not
they're terrible. 9-3.
All right, 9-3. At LSU.
Loss.
Okay, 8-4. At Memphis.
9-4 because we beat Georgia.
9-4.
Memphis is a definite loss. We're 9-5.
Florida at home. I put it down as a loss. So we're at 9-6.
You would probably have to say loss. That's one of those games I think that we can be competitive in.
9-6.
I think they're overrated. 9-6.
At Mississippi State.
We could win that game.
We could win that game, but I put it down as a loss. So okay. I got us at 9-7 right now.
All right.
Okay. Now that's four straight losses. Okay.
Okay.
Actually, five out of the last six games would have been losses. So South Carolina at home. I put them down as a win.
I think so.
All right. You got 10-7.
Okay.
Vanderbilt at home.
I think we can win that one.
I think we can win that one too. 11-7. Mississippi.
Win.
I look at that as a win as well.
At home.
12-7. Kentucky at Kentucky.
Loss.
12-8. At Georgia.
Close game. I mean, again, I think we could win it, but
close game.
It's a road game.
I put that one down as a win.
Okay.
All right. That's 13.
And 7. Auburn at home, I think we can beat.
Okay. That's 14-7. All right. At Alabama.
Loss.
Yeah, they're going to be too big, too quick, too good, too deep. At Florida.
Loss. That's what, 14-9?
14-10. Okay. Arkansas.
I think we can beat them at home.
Okay. We're getting up to 15 wins. All right. That's 15-10. All right.
Okay.
Kentucky at home. Chalk that up as a loss.
Last game of the year, though, we could be better. You never know. Pearls, you know, it's. But anyway, loss. Realistically,
all right.
Loss.
15-11. Okay. All right. And then at Vandy. I put that down as a loss. So that makes it 15-12. Now, there are three games in there that are winnable. And there may be one game in there that's losable. So let's throw those two wins our way. That's 17-9 plus a tournament game. And I think that if we can get to a point, we may be a good tournament coached team in Bruce Pearl. That would put us at 18-9. I mean, you know, we were talking earlier that 14 wins would be good. But you know what? That's a lot of wins, right? I mean that's a pretty good season, but you also have to remember out of the last 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 games, that's a lot of losses.
So what are you saying the final record is?
You know, I mean if the ball bounces our way and we can scrap around and win a few games, looking at 18-10 with a loss in the tournament.
Okay. I think you missed one summer because we played 27 regular season games by my count.
Okay.
So that would be 17-10, 18-11 if we win one and lose one. Somewhere around in there. I know where you're going with it.
18-11. Even though now at the end of the season you're looking at a very tough stretch.
Mm-hmm.
You're always looking at, and like I said, I mean, this is total, you know, conjecture right here, but any NCAA tournament looking at wins and losses, they're obviously going to look at the last 10 games, and we've got a very difficult stretch at the very end of the season.
Where did that put us? Did you notice what was our conference record with that? I guess if we were 8-2 non-conference.
Well, that only put us at 5-11. No, I'm sorry, 7-11. 7-9.
To get to 15 wins, is that right?
That's not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
So,
well, you know, there's a bunch of numbers for you, but you know, there's a lot to be excited about this game. But you know, everybody's real high on Bruce Pearl right now, and I am one of them. But there's going to be some stretches this year.
We're going to lose some games.
We're going to lose some games in a row.
Yeah, we are, and it's hard to say. I mean, I think though that we started this season talking NIT bid, and looking at the numbers, that's possible. I think we figured what 6-10 probably gets you in the NIT.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah, so you know, there's something to think about, and we'll look back at this over the next few.
Yeah, we can see how right or wrong we are on the whole basketball thing. So,
All right, guys. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break here in just a minute, and then we're going to come back. We had their Get Involved thread on the volnation.com website, and I really appreciate you guys responding to it. We're going to talk about that, get into a little bit of football, and then wrap it up with basketball later on the show. We'll be back. Larkin and Jay Hizzy. We're back. Larkin and Jay Hizzy in the house. Get involved with VolNation.com. Got a little bit of useless trivia.
It's that time. It's Jay Hizzy's useless Tennessee trivia.
Of course, when we do this, we're going to do a little introduction for Jay Hizzy. So
can't wait.
Get a little mix up here for you.
I'm Jay Hizzy. But guess what?
I'm Jay Hizzy.
I don't know. Why in the world? We're in big trouble. But guess what? I'm Jay Hizzy. Not nearly anything to get as excited about as everybody is.
I'm Jay Hizzy.
No comment.
Good intro there for little Jay Hizzy action.
Yeah, you should see the grin on Larkin's face. He's proud of that.
Yes, I am.
That was about 6 hours of work for this computer illiterate, probably.
2 hours. All right, so give us a little trivia.
Here's the question. Set the scene. 1986 Sugar Bowl, Tennessee, Miami. Who scored the only touchdown for the Canes that year?
Jimmy Johnson. I have no idea. Who?
Here's the quote.
Who is it?
Here's the quote. I found this.
All right.
Quote, I just wish I could wake up 2 or 3 hours from now and find out it was all a bad dream and it's still December 31st. Michael Irvin, University of Miami freshman wide receiver and scorer of the Hurricanes' only TD.
Oh, crack pipe Irvin, huh?
Yeah, it was beautiful. Beautiful. So anyway, so you can y'all can go. I'll tell your friends that one now and try to stump them.
All right. Well, we got coming up here. Why don't we hit the get involved thread? And of course, Tennessee has widely been known as wide receivers. Of course, you can probably go back from the 80s on. And you know, Tennessee's had some pretty incredible receivers. And so what we did was thread was started. Of course, if you read it, you know what we were talking about. And I just want to run through some of the names that that we had on there. Certainly at the top, you had Peerless Price, Carl Pickens, Willie Gault, Dante Stallworth, and Joey Kent. Those are the guys that got the most votes. Kelly Washington was even thrown in there for a little bit.
The future, baby.
That's right, the future. I'll never forget that promo before the game. I guess it was a Citrus Bowl when they had him basically half naked on the not that I forget it because I enjoyed seeing it as much as I just thought it was kind of weird.
Scoot my chair over here a little bit.
So what we want to do is go back and see what some of the guys said on the thread. Georgia Vol was one of those that picked Carl Pickens, said that he could just flat go out and get it. He and Alvin Harper, you know, that was a guy that got mentioned a couple of times. I remember him from more of the acrobatic catches in the NFL with Dallas Cowboys and dunking the football over the field goal. But, you know, the thing about Carl Pickens is what I remember most about him was not necessarily a catch, but was against Notre Dame in 92 when he took the defensive back basically through the end zone and into the fans on the screen that put us up on the go-ahead touchdown. That's one of the things I remember.
Yeah, leave it to Vols 2345 to bring up James Banks. Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
James Banks. Goodness gracious.
He had some nice plays when he was here, but we'll never know.
JMX Fall brought up Joey Kent. He said he was the Marvin Harrison in college for Peyton, and I agree with that. You know, I think a lot of people really, and that's why he got a lot of votes on this thread, was because he is synonymous with beating Alabama. The first play from scrimmage, 80 yards from Peyton Manning. Take it to the house, 41-14.
You know what's interesting about that play?
What's that?
I read in an interview with Coach Cutcliffe, can't say that they schemed that play against Alabama. with what they typically did in first plays and, you know, the way they dropped their linebackers and actually schemed that play.
Vollman Jr. Also pointed out about Kent was the 47-yard TD catch from Manning in the Citrus Bowl to open the second half against Ohio State, and Eddie 3 yards in a cloud of dust, George. I like that. I like that a lot. Let's see. U.S. Air Force Vols talking about the grandfather and uncle who made him Tennessee fans, talking about Willie Gault, Willie Golong. He was a fast one. Of course, he was an Olympic sprinter on the gold medal team in, what was that, 84? Geez, that's a long
time. He sprinted. I remember he was on the bobsled team at one point.
Bobsled? What? What are you talking about?
Wasn't he? Was that Herschel Walker? Willie was on those bobsled teams, too.
You know, talking about Kelly Washington, I thought was interesting. A couple of guys brought him up. You know, he only played one season, one full season. He played in 2002. I think he got hurt, though. He caught 70 passes his freshman year for 1,080 yards, 7 TDs. Has the all-time record for receiving yards against LSU that home game. I think he had 256 or 265 or something like that.
You know, it would have been interesting to compare our guys now that have been here for a few years and see how many catches they have, how that compares to Washington's 70.
Yeah. Of course, I noticed I don't see any receivers over the last couple of years anyway.
Where's the Meachums and the Brett Smiths and the Jason Swains and the
Dante Stallworth was another one that was brought up. Of course, he played the Citrus Bowl with a cast on his hand, if I'm not mistaken. And Bleeding Orange brought up Cedric Wilson, and he's one of my top five. I thought one of the guys that was an intense player, and of course, right now he's playing for Pittsburgh. Had a in a losing effort yesterday, had a pretty good game. And he had that huge catch against Georgia, at Georgia in 1998, that little swing out pass, and he caught it, and I'm glad he didn't get a penalty because he ended up spiking that ball. That's a play I remember for him. Any receivers you remember fondly there, Jay Hizzy?
No, not really. Not from the ones that have been mentioned. You know, I'd go with the Galts, Anthony Hancock.
And I was mistaken. Jason Give'em Six did bring up Marcus Nash, 1997
Marcus
SEC
Nash.
Championship game. That was a huge, huge receiver for us. And, you know, Anthony Miller's, Tim McGee's, you know, you bring up all these guys, and there's a one common thread. They all played in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
All played in the NFL. So, hey, we really appreciate you guys responding to that thread. I think that's something that is really, starting to catch hold, I think. And I think we'll continue to do that for the shows and get you guys on the show as much as we can. So that brings us to football.
Good stuff.
Good little segue into the football.
I was still reading. I like Orange TD gave a shout out to Bobby Graham.
Bobby Graham. You know who my all-time favorite receiver is?
Who?
Benji Shuler.
Benji Shuler.
The package deal.
Jeez. Yeah, I don't know. That's going way back. Anthony Morgan, that was another one that Orange TD mentioned that nobody brought up.
Yep, that's true.
He played the NFL a little bit, didn't he? Briefly?
I don't know.
Seems like he did. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, not a whole lot to talk about football since we don't have anything going on until recruiting. But do you know anything about JT Mapu? Is he going to be back? I saw some pictures. Someone had posted him on the board. He looked mighty dapper in his suits, and, you know, he's on his mission right now for the Mormons out there.
I think, and he's supposed to be back this next year?
I guess. I mean, there really hadn't been a whole lot of talk about him. So,
I don't know.
So I guess there's not going to be a whole lot of talk about him right now.
We're
huh?
not going to talk about him because I don't know.
All right, a couple of guys going under the knife. You got, obviously, Arian Foster. I think he went under knife for knee surgery. But he also, I think he's got a couple of bad wings, doesn't he? I mean, you know, he's that's what they're saying might take him out of spring practice, is that if he gets some shoulder surgery going on, which the other guy was LaMarcus Coker, which I didn't even know the guy was hurt or needed surgery. But I guess that's good, though, because typically, you know, there's a laundry list of guys that are having to undergo a lot of surgery and, you know, so we end up losing a lot of guys in the spring game just to get healthy. So hopefully
I'm
that
sure
won't
there's
happen.
A lot of that going on.
Great comment there, Jay Hizzy.
Great comment. Yeah, it said, I didn't know that about Coker either. It said he had torn ligaments, but I don't know. I wasn't aware of even that. So he's hopefully will get better. I know him, and with, you know, if he was hurt, him and Hardesty and Foster, all of our three backs coming back next year have had some sort of surgery. So,
you know, one thing I love about VolNation.com is going onto the message board and knowing that the faithful members out there are scouring the news stories and everything that's going on. So if something happens, you pretty much can know that it's going to be posted on Vol Nation. However, you also get a lot of rumor and innuendo. We talked about that in the previous show. But the chief to MTSU, is it going to happen? Jay Hizzy, commentary.
Yeah, I don't know what to think. I mean, I'm sure his name is being mentioned. I guess the question is whether or not you know, he would be interested in that job or not.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
You know, and my thoughts on it are he's getting to the point now where his kids are older, and I guess if he's, you know, going to think about being a head coach, now's probably the time. I think we looked up, his kids are now 23 and 25.
So that was the excuse he used in the past.
Well, you know, that was one of the reasons I think he stayed. But I think now they're getting to the age to where, you know, it's they're not young anymore, and so it wouldn't matter as much to him if he moved. So.
Have they posted his salary? Do you know what he makes?
No, I don't.
I mean, he's got to be making $300,000, $400,000. You got to think that. And he's been around for a long time.
$300,000,
I would think. So, you know, another thing I thought might be a little interesting is Hizzy dug a little deep and found some Sanders interviews from the last, I guess, couple of weeks or last week or whatever. Hyams.
Yes, it was from Friday.
Jimmy Hyams throwing him the softballs.
It was interesting because there was some NFL talk with Sanders. I think he's, you know, not afraid to set his goals high.
NFL, huh?
NFL, National Football League.
Wow.
I don't know.
I didn't know that they were looking for a guy that threw a lot of bubble screens at you.
I think he's been hanging out with Michael Irvin.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to give the Hornet credit for that comment.
So anyway, let's play a little bit of this interview. We'll see what you guys think.
We're back. Jay Hizzy and Larkin get involved. We got a little Randy Sanders. Finally, Hizzy was able to do it.
Apologize for the technical difficulties, but...
Now listen, guys. We're not really joking on him a whole lot. I mean, he just got fired. Well, no, I'm sorry. He resigned. Did he get fired or resigned?
No, he resigned.
Okay. Yeah, we're joking on him. Go ahead.
All right, here we go.
All right, Aaron, let me turn on.
I stayed because I didn't want to leave the quarterbacks hanging. And I think initially that was the only reason and the whole reason I stayed, because... Coach Foreman said, you know, there was nobody there that could coach them. And there was nobody there that had any idea what they knew. And had I walked away, the only person that could have coached them probably was Rick or Jim Bob.
Huh? You know, Rick
so
or
I
Jim Bob.
Them to try to help them through the last part of the season and give them a chance to be successful.
After you resigned as offensive coordinator, did you hear from other coaches in the NFL or colleges about opportunities?
Sure. I've probably got 100 calls from
100
different coaches. And
he did say 100, right?
At different levels, whether it was NFL or college or high school.
Goodness gracious.
A lot of them encouraging. A lot of them telling me, hang in there, you know, it's not your fault. A lot of them talking about job opportunities. And
not in coaching, I take it.
I also got a lot of calls from former coaches that are out of the profession now and are in the business world. So.
Does he include that in the 100?
It was really refreshing to see the support that's out there, and I think sometimes you get so caught up in what you're doing that you fail to realize how many friends you really have and how many friends you've made along the way.
Did you get more calls from the NFL or more calls from college folks?
Boy, he's a great interview, isn't he?
There's more calls from college because there's more college coaches out there.
You quit asking me all these questions.
Did you hear that? More calls.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points. And may God have mercy on your soul.
He didn't need to be awarded any points. They didn't make any.
I like the fact that he says he got more calls from college coaches because naturally there are more college coaches out there.
Yes.
And I'm sure that's the reason.
Well, it's all relative. You know, I mean, you know, I mean, you know, I think,
oh, no.
You know, I think we did okay. You know, I mean, you know, hey, hold on, Jay, let me get this dip out of my mouth. Okay. You know, I mean, it's just all like fishing. I mean, you know. You know, in fact, here's a good little thing about Randy Sanders beginning his, what was his debut as offensive coordinator for our mighty Vols?
Championship game.
Yep. He was talking about how when he goes fishing, that he fishes alone, because he says, when I'm fishing, I don't have all those people critiquing how I see the hook. If I miss a fish, I don't have to hear about it all week on the radio. Well, there you go, Randy.
Don't have to hear about it anymore now.
No, you don't.
Beautiful.
So he, anyway. he belongs as a quarterbacks or, you know, an offensive coordinator in a Division I AA program.
Well, we'll never know. You know, bottom line is he didn't get to do his thing. He wasn't surrounded by good talent. And we'll never know. I'm not going to be a sheep about the whole thing and pretend that he was qualified for this job. But in all fairness, we'll never know. He didn't have the staff around him. He didn't have full control of the offense. So we don't really know whether he's a good coordinator or not. But enough about him.
Enough.
Why do we end up always talking about Buzz Peterson and Randy Sanders on these shows?
No, because, you know, we like to beat them when they're down.
So anyway, it's going to be a long year. And football season's officially over. According to the Vol Nation countdown clock, we have, how long here? 270 days, roughly 20 hours and a half. I think that's off by an hour, but, you know, 271 days.
I want to hear it exact. Come
what
on.
Are we going to talk about for 271 days?
Well, I guess we're going to talk about how this is the greatest offensive line coming back ever.
We're going to have to get into some other sports. We have to bring in some updates from intramural sports and track.
Of course, recruiting, basketball. We've got tons of stuff to talk about. I'm not worried about it at all.
Yes, indeed.
Well, you want to get back into the basketball?
Talk a little bit about the Murray season. State game.
Yeah, okay. It was a good win.
It was a good win. I know that you know, we had a little scare in that game.
Yes, we did.
We were down, what, 9 points second half?
In the second half, where normally over the last few years, even under the Jared Green era, you get down by that many points, especially in the second half, and we just fold the tents and start just jacking threes up. Didn't happen this time.
And we obviously, I think, wore them out a little bit, but you've got a little field report from JMX Vol.
Yeah, I asked JMX to do that. In fact, if anybody's out there and is going to an away game, whether it be Georgia, I don't know if Georgia Vol goes into any of those games down there, in any of the SEC games and you're going, I would really appreciate you guys giving us a field report. And that's what JMX did. So I'm going to go a little bit and talk about what he said. Number one, he said, I had a great time in the mid-state. He says, I am officially a Bruce Pearl sheep. I love this man. He is my hero. Yeah, JMX might want to back off a little bit on that. I don't know if Pearl wants to spoon with him after the game or not. But anyway, just kidding, JMX.
I see the guy's helping you out, and here you're slamming him. You're trying to get more people to help, and you slam him on the show.
That was the opening statement. That was the opening statement. That's all I can say. He says, as far as attendance goes, he wasn't judged by the numbers, but he said that the Vol fans outnumbered the Murray State fans at least 4-1. He said there was about 5,000 to 6,000 Vol fans. I don't think that's a very large arena to begin with.
It sounded loud on the radio.
You know, the funny thing about it is they're going from the Georgia Dome, which is huge. I went there back in 2000, I think, and you know, that's a huge venue to play. Here, you know, if we only had 6,000 Vol fans and there was maybe 1,000 Murray State fans, but they sounded loud on the radio. I listened to Boob Kessling the whole time. But he did say he liked the JMX said he liked the neutral court thing. He did say an interesting tidbit was that some Murray State students had a poster that read, "Hey Lofton, UK didn't recruit you because you suck." Pretty interesting considering you shot them out of the game.
Good, yes, he did.
Good eye there, JMX.
Good win, though. Probably our last, you know, top-tier mid-major of that stretch. So
he said that they were passing out discounts on the OVC tournament tickets, and so why in the world would you keep passing them out to the Vol fans, considering we're not a part of the OVC? Interesting. Hmm. He says, my flyer came in handy, however, as I used it to soak up some of the Coke that some kids spilled next to me. Anyway, the arena wasn't overwhelming in size, but it made the Tommy Bowl look like the Rose Bowl. Kessling sure did put down a lot of... Boob put a lot of cookies down during the game, which Bert Bertelkamp brought him at halftime. He is a blimp. You know the blimp that flies around the Thompson Bowling Arena?
Come on now.
I heard
Bob Kessling listens to the show, so, you know.
Right. Anyway,
he's
finally
looking for some broadcasting tips.
JMX says, overall, a great experience. Glad to get the win. Hope we play there more in the future. Of course, we will in the SEC tournament. And he said the team had fun, played with heart, and you could tell they appreciated the fan support from those who made the trip. So thanks, Jay Maxwell, for field reporting. That was excellent. Appreciate that.
Now I am going to play a couple of the quick voicemails that we got left by Vol Nation members.
All right.
On our 865-686-VOL-1.
A couple of, how did you have that much time to
Well, I just sorted through them, and, you know, we kind of decided to pick just a couple that some prevalent members of the board that have been around for a while.
So all right, go ahead.
We're going to play those, so here we go.
What's up, Larkin and Hizzy? This is Milo himself calling from beautiful Oregon to say you guys are doing a great job on the show. I tune in every Monday night to get the inside scoop on what's happening over in K-Town. So keep up the good work and go Vols.
I didn't know we scooped anything.
Yes, we do. We have all the stories first. Don't you know that?
Right.
Isn't that amazing how we only come on once a week, but yet we have all the scoops. So I had one more I was going to play real quick.
Thanks, Milo.
Here we go. Appreciate it, Milo. Good job.
Hey, this is Ballman Jr. calling from an orange state of mind, and I'm one of the sheep that thinks Philip Fulmer ought to have another year to get this thing turned around. Glad to have a Coach Cliff coming in to take over for the OC. Good luck with the show, guys. Talk to you later.
Good All job, right. Ballman Jr. He sounds about as crazy as he does on the board, so he's always entertaining. So appreciate the call-ins, guys, and hopefully we'll get more of that this week. Again, the number, 865-686-VOL-1, 865-686-8651. So if you guys want to call and leave your comments about the show, about some topic that's on your mind, feel free to do that. So,
going back to the Murray State game, they weren't really a huge team, but they've you know, they're only 1-2 now, of course, with loss to us. But they shot okay, you know, in the first half, and the second half, we just turned the defense on.
We did. We pretty much, I think, wore them out, played better. But definitely one of the more athletic teams we've played. I think they had comparable talent to what we've got. So
comparable talent, even.
Yeah, comparable. I think coaching our style of play had an effect on that game. So good win.
Chris Lofton lit it up. Threw some threes down. In fact, I think once he gets hot, I think all the other players feed off of him. And, you know, scoring was spread around pretty good again. You had four guys in double figures, and we had a ton of steals. I tell you what, this is a team. We're leading the SEC in steals, by the way. I looked up some of the SEC stats. Lofton is somewhere in the top 10 of scoring, but we've got five of the top 10 steal leaders in the SEC are all in the ball.
Well, if our schedule, our RPI at 319th is accurate, then that would probably explain a lot of that.
Hey, that was a pretty good, interesting stat.
Wake me up when you're done, will
Punk.
You? The thing, though, I think you could tell from the Murray State game is, well, the biggest thing I got out of it was, so go our guard play, so goes the team. I mean, you know, first half, Lofton and Watson didn't really get off, struggled a little bit to get going. And I know, I think Pearl limited their minutes somewhat, but you know, if those guys have a tough night, it's going to be a long night for the team.
Yeah, we're not playing a great team, but we're still limiting our turnovers. Only 9 the entire game. That's good.
That's something that we never were able to do in Buzz Peterson era. We always had double-digit, you know, upwards of 20 turnovers even in those games.
Right, sure did. So that was good. Murray State. We
didn't we end up getting like 20 more shots than they did or something? You have that stat?
Yeah, we had, you know, 70 shots to their 56.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's a big difference.
Yeah. Well,
14 more shots.
14 more shots. So if your percentage is around 45%, you're looking at, you know, 13, 14 points. I mean, mm-hmm. that right there is the difference in the ball game. So you're really looking at and that's one thing that Tennessee does do, and they take a ton of shots. Now, one thing we need to do is get Andre Patterson, you know, and Major Wingate really needs to step it up on the rebounds. I mean, he's not doing very well on the boards. Patterson had a good game, double-double.
Yeah, and we talked about Wingate last week. Pearl said it himself. He's not a good rebounder, so whether he can learn that and be taught that in a short amount of time, I don't know.
Well, he's going to have to. Otherwise, the end of the SEC schedule is just going to be brutal.
Well, believe it or not, I think what you're going to see is it's going to depend a lot on how well he can develop Childress. Can he step up and give us some, you know?
I think Childress's confidence is growing a little bit. He's getting some minutes.
It is. He's probably going to get pounded against SEC competition, but, you know, that's another important key for us. Hell, everybody's important. You know, when you got seven or eight guys that you can play, you know, they're all important. So,
yeah. Ryan Childress only played 3 minutes, by the way,
well,
in the game. So
it's three. You have to play up, you know. you gotta get to 40 somehow for everybody.
Next coming up.
Who got more, Childress or Eddie DeBro?
Childress by one.
DeBrow, didn't DeBrow get some playing time in the first half in that game?
Yeah, 2 minutes.
Dude, I swear, Pearl.
But he did go in early.
Pearl and those guys kill me with their substitution patterns. It's just, it's crazy. I mean, it works. It's great. It's ballsy is what it is.
It is. Next game coming up, Tennessee, Appalachian State, Buzz Peterson's stomping grounds where he managed to take them to the NCAA tournament.
Made a name for himself there. You know, if it's not for Appalachian State, then we're not where we are today.
Their tallest starter is a freshman, and he is 6'9". Their guards, they go three guards, two forwards. We should score 100 on these guys. They're not very good. They're young. There's a senior starter on their team. And I think this is another where you're going to get a ton of turnovers. You're going to get a ton of steals. And I think we're going to beat them by 20, 25.
You hope. I mean, it's a long season. You know, you don't know how these guys are going to react to certain things. They had a little bit of time off. I mean, I'm not confident enough in this team yet to think we can overlook anybody. I mean, if Appalachian State gets hot, we don't play our best, we could lose. I'm not confident that we can, you know, look past anybody. So you're right. We should beat them if we continue to play like we have, but I'm not marking it down yet.
They need to. Well, this is one of a few games here in the month of December where we're actually playing home games. We don't, we go on the road to Oklahoma State and Texas coming up here pretty soon. So we're not going to see a whole lot of action here at Thompson Bowling Arena except for tomorrow night. So there we go. We're going to take another little break, and
we'll be back to wrap it up.
We'll wrap it up. Larkin, Jay Hizzy, coming back at you. And we're back.
Jay Hizzy and Larkin back for the final segment. I think we're going to wind it up for you guys.
Make it quick.
Yeah, not a whole lot going on this week. We'll try to, on next week's show, bring in maybe a little bit of recruiting, see where we're at with that. Talk about a few of the things. Obviously, it's going to be a long year since there's no football. Hopefully, we can get some more voicemail call-ins and things, and maybe bring some guests on the show or do something.
We'd like to turn this show into your show. I mean, we want to make this the BallNation.com show and make it so that that's why we call it Get Involved. So what? A couple of things we want to talk about on the board was Ball Nation Awards. If anybody hits the pub.
Yeah, going to the pub. We didn't see it at first. We don't spend a whole lot of time in there. But in the pub, there's a thread called the Ball Nation Awards. It's pretty funny talking about some of the people. It's kind of in mockery of the ESPYs. So it's kind of Ball Nation's version of the ESPYs.
Hot dog eating champ, our very own starting VolNation.com and all, Vol Freak. What's up, Vol Freak?
And most likely to have a post edited by a moderator, Checkerboard Charlie. He also most likely to argue schedule strength. Speaking specifically of the Pac-10 is Milo himself.
Is Checkerboard Charlie a Philly fan?
I don't know.
I think so, because they are getting their butts kicked. I think it was 42-0 at the end of the third quarter tonight, so obviously he's not doing too well.
Yeah, best looking in spandex, Georgia Vol.
And how do we know that?
Don't know.
I actually got in there. I'm volunteer on the thread as a poster, and someone put me there. Best replacement for Rush Limbaugh. I guess because I put a couple of conservative jokes on there.
Yeah, worst tutorial by a mod. Whoever taught CBC how to post in all orange. I take it with a little whistling smiley that maybe that was Georgia Vol.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny stuff, though. The most likely to be fired is Ball Man Jr. Lady in Orange taking a stab there, it looks like.
Most improved was Vols 2345. I think he posted 4,000 posts when he first joined. Dude was all over the place.
And look at Dan for Vols being all positive. Most valuable Vol Freak. Most supportive Lady in Orange. Most friendly Vol Man Jr. Most positive NC Gatorbase. Most knowledgeable Orange White Blood Georgia Vol and all Vol. A three-way tie.
Person you'd like to drink a beer with. USAF Vol. Most likely to wet the bed after a Vol loss. Vol Man Jr. Lex Vol is on fire. And by the way, I like your avatar, Bad Santa. I watched that the other day. Pretty funny.
Yeah, it's
so that's that. I think Hizzy wanted to give props to the Maryville Rebels
Absolutely. Watched that game this weekend. Took out Memphis Melrose. Congrats to them. Surprised me, really. I think Melrose was a more talented team, but George Quarles and the Maryville Rebels took it to them, and also to Alcoa for their state championship. So nice to see a couple of local schools doing well.
Speaking of doing well on the NFL, the Colts, is this the team that's going to do it, 16-0? Are they going
to
do it?
Four to go. Four games left.
Four games to go. Of course, they've gone through a pretty tough stretch run at the Patriots, at the Bengals, and the Pittsburgh Steelers over that four-game stretch. Just really, they're not just winning. They're beating teams. Of course, the Bengals game was a blowout. Basically, a lot of scoring on both sides, but you got the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up. Of course, they got Gerard. I don't think he's going to do very well. San Diego Chargers, now that's at home. That may be a tough test for them. And then at Seattle, which that's a team currently kicking Philly all over the field. I'm a Cowboys fan, so I enjoy watching Philadelphia lose. That could probably be their toughest test. And then they close that out with Arizona, which is, you know.
Well, and I don't think that's as important. Obviously, we don't care if they go undefeated or not. It's, you know, can Manning win the big one? So we'll see.
I am sick and tired of that topic being thrown out there.
I know it's going to be thrown out there, though, until he wins one. So
yeah, well, you know,
year.
maybe they'll play a team where there's a tuck rule and they end up going to the Super Bowl, you know, kind of like Tom Brady, and, you know, get all the luck in the world to get to the big game. So, you know, that's you know, a little bit of the Colts. I know a lot of ball fans out there follow the Colts, just like I think Jay Hizzy and I do, just from the standpoint that Manny's the head guy. And really, if you think about it, the head guy in the NFL. I mean, he is their poster child right now.
Yeah, I got it. Before we sign off here, I got to bring up a few more of these Vol Nation awards. Most likely to replace Small Mike, Checkerboard Charlie.
Yeah, if you're local in Knoxville, there's a clown that calls on to all of the radio sports talk shows. His name's Small Mike. He's an absolute idiot.
People either like him or they hate him. So I also like, I even got in here, most likely to take a cheap shot at women's basketball. JMX Ball says me and Jay Hizzy.
You mean Larkin and Jay Hizzy?
He said him and Jay Hizzy. So it was quite funny. We were JMX. We were seeing that. We saw a little useless trivia question tonight where they were giving away free Lady Vols tickets back in 1987 with the purchase of a Wendy's hamburger, and they were trying to give away 20,000 tickets and ended up giving away 80,000, and apparently had more people show up. And then the Lady Vols proceeded to lose by 19. So
boring.
Take a shot though, man. Giving away free tickets with a hamburger. Come on.
And there is another layup.
Man, I tell you what, though, Orange Whiteblood went to town. He's got like 30 on here. Have you seen his? I mean, there's like 25. I mean, he went all out.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's funny because, you know, a lot of guys are on the message board and they're getting to know each other, so it's always good to poke fun at it a little bit.
Yeah, we may have to, once those get finished, we may have to bring those up again next week and go through some of the funnier ones.
Yeah.
Georgia Vol, man, Orange Whiteblood went all out on those, so pretty interesting. Well, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Like I said, we'll try to bring up some recruiting. If you got some ideas for next week's show, be sure to post them on the board. Larkin will start a thread.
Yes, I
will.
For
next week's show, and
keep it going, boys.
Okay.
We'll see ya.
See you next week.